Two weekends ago was the first weekend back from our trip from Ireland, which was an amazing trip, went very, very well. Thank you for all of your prayers with that. And that first weekend back, it was kind of nice just back to the routine, celebrated Mass, was able to preach. It was interesting, though, after that first weekend back in those Masses, I had so many people afterwards that came up to me, and they're like, "Father, we were expecting your homily to be about Ireland." I was like, "I slave and labor over these homilies, you ungrateful people, you." So, guess what we're going to talk about today? Ireland. No, it was. It was an amazing trip. We had 37 of our pilgrims from here at St. Patrick's and St. Margaret Mary's and other parishes that joined us on this amazing pilgrimage across Ireland. And we got to see some of the incredible churches over there, the old monasteries, a lot of the history of the place. And we got to see just a lot of the iconic scenery of Ireland, those beautiful landscapes. I was asked at the end of the trip what my favorite part was. And there were a lot of them. There were a lot of incredible moments over there, very spiritual moments. But there was one place in particular that really stuck out. The name of the place is Glendalough. And as soon as you step off the bus, you can just tell there's something special about this place. It's this valley that exists, and it's surrounded by, and I hate to call them hills, they're really like small mountains that rise above this valley, and they're green all the way up to the very peaks of the mountains, covered in trees and different vegetation. You get off the bus and you're greeted by the sound of all these birds flying from tree to tree. You cross over this small bridge and there's this burbling stream underneath you. You could almost smell the greenness of the place. And at the very heart of it was this ruin of an old monastery. The history of the place is very interesting. One of the great saints of Ireland, St. Kevin himself, discovered this place when he was trying to find a location where he could praise God on his own, to build a hermitage where he could live in isolation, separated from the noise and the worries of the world, to really delve into God. He's known as the St. Francis of Ireland. He's very connected to nature, and you can see it in this place. I don't blame him. If I could work my will, I would not be opposed to spending the rest of my days in Glendalough and its beauty. But as he was living there and he was praying in this space, this beautiful piece of Ireland, he began to realize God was calling him to something else. God was showing him the beauty of creation around him and telling him, "You can't hoard this for yourself. It's meant to be shared. You need to invite other holy men to live here in community, to build a monastery where men can come and worship God. They can come and experience God in this place." And so he did. And to this day, there's a few towers that remain. A few of the churches are still intact. Now, while we were there and visiting and just experiencing this beauty, I noticed there were three types of people there at Glendalough, three types of tourists. The first type were the ones that were going around and they would take a picture of this beautiful landscape. They would look down at their camera to make sure they got a good shot. And then they'd walk on, they'd take another picture and look down at their camera, take another picture, look down at their camera. And that was it, that was their whole routine. The second type of person were the ones that go around and they take the picture. And then they just stand there. And they just take it in. They just soak up what was surrounding them. They kind of have that far distant gaze as if they could view down the entire path of that valley and see it all at once. And then there was the third type. And I was glad to see that a few of these were in our group on pilgrimage. And they still took their fair share of pictures. But when I looked at them, they had their eyes closed. They had seen something wonderful, and it had moved them to prayer. Something about experiencing this created thing, this physical space, it made them want to give thanks to God. One of the profound things about today's gospel, time and time again throughout this familiar story, is how Christ interacts with his people. The glory of the incarnation is not that God sent his son amongst us as some spiritual guide, as some transcendent, transparent thing that we couldn't quite comprehend, some phantasm. He came as flesh and blood. In this story, he interacts with us through our senses, through our physical being. He gets off a boat on the sea. He walks amongst the crowd. They see him. They hear his voice. They can't help themselves. They reach out and they grab a hold of his cloak. He gets called by one of the synagogue officials to come to his house, where he takes a little girl by the hand. And he says authentic words, "Talitha kum." And then after she rises from the dead, he goes so far as to demand that she has something to eat. All of the senses are involved. He engages us on every level because he doesn't want to miss an opportunity to be with us. He wants to engage with us on something that's so familiar, so profound in our experience, that we're moved by it. This is why we have churches. This is why we come to a physical space and we have statues. We celebrate sacraments of bread and wine made body and blood, that we go to confession and speak verbally to a priest, that we have water at baptism. But more than that, God is calling us to experience him in everything in our life. You know, in the Christian life, we're called to pray constantly. That's one of the great endeavors of our life, is to pray to God, be connected to him at all times. And I think in today's gospel, we have a key to that. That we're being called to go out into the world and to see him there. That when we drive down 7th Street, when it reopens, and we see the rows of trees there, that we give thanks to God for this beauty that's there, this lush vegetation there. Then we celebrate the 4th of July and we see the fireworks, whether last night or this upcoming Wednesday, that it somehow reminds us of the fire of the Holy Spirit that dwells among us. Then we look up at the sky at night and we see the stars and the moon. It reminds us that we're being watched over. That God is really with us. But you gotta look for it. It's easy to see the beauty of creation and take it just as that, but it takes another sense to seek God in it, to look for him in there. You know, it's amazing. Christ gets off the boat in this story, and everyone's reaching for him. Everyone's grabbing his cloak. I mean, at one point when he says, "Who has touched me?" the disciples make fun of him, and they're just like, "Lord, everyone's touching you. Like, what are you talking about?" But only one woman actually felt the power of God. Only one woman amongst them all, only one hand reaching out and grabbing that cloak, experienced something. Why? Because she was looking for it. She was expecting it. She was hoping that by reaching out, if only I could touch his clothes, I will be healed. I will feel God's presence. So we have to be aware, even in this space, to come here and just take part without seeking God, bread and wine, it'll just seem like bread and wine to us. We have to seek him out. We have to look for him in unexpected places. This is part of the reason why every year there's a trip from Indianapolis out to the Rocky Mountains with high school students, hoping that in God's creation they will experience His peace and joy. And every time we take that trip out there with these high school students, there's one song in particular that we listen to and we sing. One song that to me is a prayer about this, thanking God for the gift of creation and recognizing Him therein. Now, the author of this song, I don't think wrote it as a prayer. He had no idea what he was doing. But I think it sums it up very, very well, and I invite you to sing along if you know it. Think of this as a prayer to God Himself from us. You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Come, let me love you, let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me again. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body. Amen.